A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com. A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am, but Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
The following is a presentation of the Four Center podcast feed.
From the center of the galaxy, this is the Force Center podcast feed. I'm Ken Napsok.
And I'm Joseph Scrimshaw, and this is one of our News and Cues episodes. The Cues stands for questions, and the News stands for news. We love clarity in our titles. That's why we cut off most of the word questions. But anyway, we explained it, so it's all good. How are you, Ken?
I am good. Oh, man, much to talk about. It's going to be one of those news catch-up weeks because, hey, why would Star Wars release information on a Monday morning? And they can wait for Tuesday when we release the episodes. So we're catching up to some stuff that was out last week. But before that, and as always, I want to remind you that today's podcast is brought to you by Audible. Get a free audiobook download and a 30-day free trial at audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Over 180,000 titles to choose from for your iPhone, Android, Kindle, or MP3 player. A little bit later, as always, one of our Force Center recommends an audiobook we think you should try out on us. And do it. Try it out. Helps you, helps the show, helps the world. And Joseph, that's not all.
No, we have another offer. Inside Editions is a publisher of a ton of great Star Wars books, as well as other pop culture books. You can build things. You can absolutely cover your coffee table so there's no room for coffee with all the pop culture books. Inside Editions is offering 35% off across their website with a special Force Center code. To get your discount, enter the coupon code FC35 or visit the website with this link, insideeditions.com/discount/FC35. This week, we are continuing to recommend the Inside Editions book, Secrets of the Jedi. The companion piece to that book, Secrets of the Sith, will be coming out very soon. And I hope they continue. I hope we get a Secrets of the Wookiees book. Just keep going with it because I love it. You can check it out with the code FC35.
I love that idea. I didn't thought about it. Those Secret of the Lene, the caretakers. That'd be great.
Those caretakers do have some secrets.
Oh, especially the party, once a month party.
Yep. When all the male pirate Lene come back to the island.
What are they doing on Okto? What islands are they marauding on? I don't know. There's a lot of questions.
Yeah. I think maybe they must be claiming that they're marauding, but maybe they just go to like a different island and watch holo videos. I don't know what they do.
It's like, it's an old hack stand up. Take my wife, please set up here. That's going on. We haven't discovered it yet. On Star Wars.
Yeah. Some elaborate role play going on there with the Lene.
That's great. So not yet Secrets of the Caretaker, but the Secrets of the Jedi. Check it out. Like Joseph said, our friends at Inside Editions. Star Wars Life Adventures. You know, you and I, the next couple of weeks and even months, we're doing some traveling here and there, all of us. So it's sometimes fun, sometimes a hassle. But, sir, did you have any adventures in between it all?
Oh, my, I did. Sometimes we come to the talking about Star Wars and life adventures, and sometimes like, you know, well, life's just going along. This week was like the total opposite, incredibly busy. Had my birthday on Tuesday. I wanted to especially thank you, Ken. You put out a really nice post and heard a lot of nice things from Force Center listeners. So I really, really appreciate that. And then like a day and a half after my birthday, visited my hometown of Minneapolis for the first time in 2 years. It was really great. It was really surreal. It is that I'm so thankful for all of our Star Wars talks because they helped me process things. And it was really that acceptance that things evolve, but also like essential truths don't change. And, you know, going home to Minneapolis, a lot of that was like, here's all the beautiful sights I remember. And also a lot of condos. Okay. I have to accept change. But it's just a very surreal thing to go home, and home evolves. Right. But it was really beautiful. Got to see some friends, got to see some family, got to just play some board games with friends. A great board game based on the movie Jaws. And it was a delight to be eaten by my friend. That was very, very huge highlight. So I could go on and on about great adventures, great conversations I had about Star Wars. But the thing that I wanted to pick, because I talk about it here on Force Center a lot, is I've got this storage space in Minneapolis where many of my old Star Wars books, my Star Wars action figures are kept. I have all of my Power of the Force era figures in boxes, and I haven't opened them in so long. I truly don't remember who all I have. But my original Kenner figures are there. They are in those old collector cases of Vader's head and 3PO's head.
Yeah.
And I've been really worried about them because it's been 2 years since we've been able to get to the storage space. And just like, are they going to be okay? So it was really great to finally get there, open them up. They're just fine. And I got to just, it was a really busy day rushing through a bunch of things. So I really felt like a kid. I was like, I have 15 minutes to play with my action figures. And then I got to go do some stuff with my family. But I wanted to take a few back. So I had it all prepped. If I had bought some napkins and to carefully wrap them in. And then I had bought some Ziploc bags, and then had brought a tote bag. And I had like all of these, I had specific clothes I brought so I could carefully wrap them. So I spent the rest of the weekend carefully guarding the figures that I brought home. And the figures that I brought home is my original Bespin Luke.
Oh yeah.
With the dark hair. And I didn't decide ahead of time who I was going to bring. I just opened it up and let the Force guide me, you know, who spoke to me. And then General Madine and his pointer, his swagger stick.
How's the shape? Is he bold, vibrant colors on that outfit there?
Bold, vibrant colors. His eyes are so beautiful. So it's such a beautiful sparkling blue. It's clear that I was taking a lot of care of my Return of the Jedi action figures.
Yeah.
And Madine's arm is slightly loose because I would move it for him to point with the pointer. But besides that, Madine's like brand new mint condition. Nothing wrong with him. And then I grabbed my Cloud Car Pilot.
Yeah.
And longtime listeners will know that I played a story where the Cloud Car Pilot was trying to ask Leia out for dates while Han was frozen in carbonite, and Leia shot him down. Cloud Car Pilot is a very, very sad story. And finally, Ori Marco, or as he was known at the time, prune face.
Right.
Also came home with me, partially because I wanted a collection of beloved characters and weirdos. Prune face comes with that gun that was just like, I think this is off a old John Wayne action figure or something.
Yes.
Not spacey at all. So I was sure to grab that. Also, my figures from like A New Hope era are so loved, so loose, they literally can't even stand. I took my stormtrooper out, whose thumb long ago broke off, so he can't hold a blaster. I tried to stand him up to take a picture in the storage space, and he just fell over. He's just the stormtrooper who can't even now.
That's that. This is a great. This is a treasure trove of memories.
Yeah, no, it was an absolutely great life adventure and Star Wars adventure to go through all of the memories and then just also have this new experience. I was talking about like the idea of processing what stays the same, what is constant, and then change at the same time. And it's so great to connect with these deep, deep memories, but they are different now because of doing this podcast and having this community and in talking about it. So it's a really great, beautiful kind of Star Wars in real life moment where the old can become new again. And that's the way I felt about carefully wrapping prune face in a napkin.
I mean, these are some heavy hitters that Madine one, man. I mean, cause yeah, I remember I had that figure too. And it's like, it was always in good shape. Maybe because you would say not played, but no, I think you're right. You just kind of posted him up as a position of authority in your play scenes. So he was in pristine condition for me too.
Yeah. Yeah. Carefully coiffed beard, everything. It's beautiful. Absolutely beautiful. I'll probably post some photos. Some of the photos I took of my figures are so messed up and I had done some weird things to them. I showed them to some friends of mine and the photos I took and my friends were like, what the hell is that about? And it's like, see, this is why I can't post these on social media until I have like an hour to deal with the comments of like, what have you done to Greedo? So I'll hopefully be doing that later this week. Sharing some Greedo.
Take your time. That's
cool. So that was my life adventure, Ken. I want to know about yours.
The other way around. I mean, this is some local travel here, some family stuff, good and bad and all those kind of things. But there was this one key moment this week. Grace and I sat down. We had a nice little dinner. I've been making these plant-based sloppy joes, returning sloppy joes to my life. It's just, I can't stop. I go to Ralph's every day and they're like, sloppy joe mix? Yep, I'm heading there again. So had a meal, sat down. And we do that debate of what you're going to watch. And we do the streaming app scroll and all those things. Every person goes through just trying to figure out what to watch. And then she says, well, I'm kind of in a Star Wars mood. We can watch a Star Wars film. And I said, Joseph, I said, now I'm good. And it threw her for a loop. She goes, I've never known you not to watch Star Wars. And I said, you know what? I think we all, and if you're listening, you kind of know what I mean too. There's those moments where you just like, you need to just go away. Not for long. I'll be back next week. But just like, you need to say, not tonight. I don't need it tonight. Let's watch something else. Let's watch something silly. But yeah, it was oddly refreshing. And I felt I needed to almost confess that. So all of us out there listening, you know, you don't have to feel guilty if you choose something else over Star Wars on a particular Friday night. You're okay. Star Wars will always be there.
Absolutely. You can be like those male inane. You can just go to a non-Star Wars island and then come back for your Star Wars. No, I know what you mean. I think a part of appreciating something is sometimes knowing when you need like a little breath to come back to it fresh.
Yeah. I mean, you and I have experienced that with the novels many times. And we should say a couple of people have been asking, are we going to do an Out of Shadows review? Yeah, we absolutely are. We have the books, but I think both of us just with life and travel and work, it's been tough. And then the comics sometimes get overwhelming for me. We've talked about that, but you know, coming off the Bad Batch run where you and others are watching the episodes 2-3 times in one day, studying the movies to a micro level that we do sometimes. I just had that moment of, nah, we're going to watch a dumb ghost show.
Well, and I always feel like watching other things is making me appreciate Star Wars more and differently because, you know, we can totally disappear into the Star Wars bubble, but, you know, Star Wars exists in our galaxy and the ideas that Lucas initially built it on and all the other creators now, like they echo out in other places. And it's really fun to watch something that I'm just thinking like, I'm kind of in a different mood. I'm a big Teen Titans fan. I'll watch Titans. And then find myself thinking about Star Wars because there's a specific idea that it's maybe approaching in a similar way or a different way. And I guess what I'm saying is no matter what, we're always watching Star Wars at this point.
Right. Yeah, pretty much.
Even in a ghost show, right?
Even, yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, yeah, you think of, can they do a Star Wars about ghost hunters searching for Sith ghosts or Force ghosts? Or
yeah, you just waiting for a shimmering blue Obi-Wan Kenobi to pop up?
Was that a Kenobi orb? It was a Kenobi orb. Yeah.
Well, that's a great adventure. A great strong adventure.
Yeah, a great non-adventure. A non-adventure adventure, which we all need from time to time. So
well, yeah, we're going to be trading because you're going to be having some adventures soon. So I will tell you, you know, how the couch was that week.
Oh, please. Yes. Even when I travel, I miss the couch. But yeah, looking forward to some stuff, some stand-up shows coming up. So I'll let you all know. As always there. All right. We've got some Star Wars news and yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead and play catch up. The full Star Wars Visions trailer dropped last Tuesday. We'll make the jokes again, but really it's just a thing now. We are always going to get some big Star Wars news. It seems the moment after we release our episode. So Joseph, we're playing catch up. Gut reactions, thoughts, the visuals, the characters, the action, man, there's a lot there.
Yeah, no, the Visions trailer, I think I've watched maybe more than a lot of the other Star Wars trailers. It is just stunning. I love the variety in the animation. We kind of knew that was coming from just even seeing some screenshots, but to just see it in literal action, flowing, moving, exploding. I love the variety in the styles. And I really loved just even in the visuals. I'm on about the whole power of the old and new. I always think that's one of the most central things in Star Wars. And I just really felt that power or even tension or friction watching this trailer, that it was so overwhelming of the like, this is so familiar and yet so different, so strange, so fresh and almost like old and new in a circle, right? You know, mm-hmm. Got those great images like that. You know, Force user holding back Stormtrooper stun bolts, which is like, I know every element of that, and yet I have never seen that, you know?
I'm literally looking at that as you're talking. Like, literally, that one's got me mesmerized.
Yeah, because there's a power to it. It's just great direction. I keep looking at it, and it's like the Force user is saying, no, hold all my calls. I'm not doing anything today. But then, like, you know, got the familiar of the Mos Espa Arena, but then, like, actually, you know, I paused to see, ooh, what did they design a Star Wars just mic to look like? Like, a talking mic, not a singing mic, you know?
Yeah.
The style of that black and white sketch style. Oh, mm-hmm. Right? Amazing. That's real old and new. And then the two other images that just, like, really grabbed me. Was the lightsaber on a frozen lake with some kind of speeder coming at it of like, you know, I'm from Minnesota. I didn't go ice fishing, but I'm used to that image of that sort of frozen lake. And I don't think I've ever really seen it look like, you know, a lightsaber on a very realistic looking kind of frozen lake. Right. Final thing for me is that it's a quick shot, but it was like perfect, just like Star Wars weirdness where I just want to know what else is happening. That weird character in the woods scanning for something.
Mm. Yeah.
It looks so Star Wars. That looked like, you know, okay, who is that? Is that a scavenger? Is that a Force user? Is that a bounty hunter? What are they scanning for? You know, is that just one clip that's not actually important to the story? Or is that the whole thing? Ah, are they foraging for space mushrooms? What's going on? So I was so, so intrigued by all of the just visual power of it.
Yeah, what keeps grabbing me is and I think I've seen a lot of people talking about like lightsaber sheaths, you know, like
really
connected to swords and then just the designs that are, like you've been saying, is so familiar to Star Wars, but also new, different, and connects to the samurai, samurai center that Star Wars has a lot, right? It's now I get to say, we all get to say, it's not just an homage. It's like, no, this is actually like a Star Wars samurai story. Like, and it just pulls me in. Cause then I just have images of you know, thoughts, images, and thoughts of in my head of just of certain codes and what the themes they're going to folks, these characters that we don't even yet really know are going to go out and fight for what's at stake. And it just has, it connects to just a classic kind of old style picture movie type of thing. And I'm intrigued by the lightsaber of it all. And you know, me and our listeners know, like I'm always pulled into other things first before maybe lightsabers and Jedi, but I keep going to all those and all those shots here. Just looks like some of the more epic dueling we'll ever see because of the storytelling that we're going to get behind the duels. And I just keep going to those photos.
Yeah. And it's so easy to concentrate on the visuals, right? And mm-hmm. the visuals are absolutely telling that story of like, look at all the different things that can be done with the lightsaber, including the apparently controversial, you know, spinning
right.
lightsaber. But the whole thing is structured and framed, right? To mm-hmm. make you think about that. The little bit of dialogue really is about, it starts with the, can you take the responsibility and the power of this, you know, ancient object? And then at the end saying, yes, I will. And then in between, it looks like you're seeing a lot of people who did not handle the power and responsibility as well as they maybe should have, right? So you've got conflict right there, all built around just the idea of a lightsaber. Samurai centered indeed.
So yeah, right. Yeah, there's just this beautiful stoic hopefulness all wrapped up in some of these shots, and a lot of them just, so you know, you look at them, yeah, it is a truly Star Wars anime style, but some of the shots I still connect to like Macquarie's art to me. It's just a circle. It's a circle of influence that I'm loving.
Yeah, absolutely. Well said.
So one of the things it's going to come out of it. We're not diving into the too much of the discourse of last week. You mentioned some of it. There's always going to be controversies, right? You know, why couldn't we just enjoy things? But hey, we also understand you're going to have reactions. You're going to have thoughts. You're going to have questions. That's also part of the fun of being a Star Wars fan and part of the fun of having those discussions. One thing that I want to discuss here is these are non-canon stories, as we know. We already had that discussion. But looking at just some of the stuff in this trailer, we don't even know yet what we're going to see. But some of the shots you and I are talking about, I'm thinking and almost wanting and rooting for some of this stuff to appear in canon, not maybe directly, not a one-to-one, this character comes over here. But again, to have this circle of influence I'm talking about, have this influence new Star Wars stories going forward, where some creator can be like, look at that, let's build on that. And maybe these creators behind Visions get pulled into canon things. That'd be a great addition to the Star Wars storytelling teams here. And so do you have any thoughts on the effects on future projects and stories that Visions might have?
Yeah, I think it's a great idea, to the possibility of pulling in creators, pulling in a specific individual idea or image, or also it seems like maybe with this novel coming out, Ronin, right?
Yeah.
The possibility of some of these individual stories kind of spawning their own little canon, their own little world, right?
Yeah.
And we've got so much going on in the superhero world with the multiverse, and that's really incredibly fun, and I love it, and I'm excited for multiverse now to become like an incredibly common word that just, like, you know, your aunt and uncle who don't watch much, they know about multiverses. Of course they do, because it's so prevalent. I don't even need this to be anything like that, but just that idea that I think what I was really responding to in this trailer is part of what you were talking about with the lightsaber, is in some ways the lack of canon gives total focus to just the core ideas, right?
Yeah.
You watch that and all you're thinking about is the power and responsibility of the lightsaber, of this power of something ancient coming alive again and a new generation having to tackle it, you know? Right. There's clearly stuff in that trailer about the threat of being consumed by darkness and the positive power of family. All these core Star Wars ideas, and they are not distracted in any way by, well, who's playing that canon character, or when does it happen on the timeline? You know, does that contradict this other thing on the timeline? Should that have been a comic book instead? Like, there's none of that discussion, so you can just focus on the ideas. So I think whatever happens with this, I hope that they keep doing projects like this, where I love canon stories, rich connected canon, but having some projects like this that are just like, forget all that, so we can just focus on, this is why lightsabers are cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Take that stuff going forward. Yeah, there's going to be just a I think, oh, yeah, this will inspire some things going forward. I absolutely believe that and love what you're saying and just be able to connect. The freedom to just create, which, again, they talked about, James Wan talked about, and we've discussed here. But there's just something really powerful in that. And again, I'll say I love canon. I live in that world and don't want everything, you know, that I'm seeing just to immediately be canon. But I love exploring it and inspiring. And I think as Star Wars as a franchise, as a brand, is in this kind of time frame where we are writing the future a little bit. We don't know where all the roads are leading right now. We don't have an episode 10, 11, 12. We just have a movie, a show, something. I don't know. Characters old and new. And so something like Visions comes along and where it's just an explosion of creativity. It will help shape Star Wars going forward.
Absolutely. And I think we are really lucky that we have balance in the canon. You know, we have these very canon rich stories like Bad Batch, which I absolutely love. And I love it because it's playing with this great canon of what was it like when the Empire was really just getting started. And then we have these kind of, you know, open sky projects like Visions and the way High Republic was, you know, starting out. And I love that we have both.
Yeah, absolutely. Balance is needed. Second story. Speaking of balance. Wow. All right. Here we go. I'm glad this story is now. 10 years ago, I would have had some different things to say, Joseph. A new Marvel one-shot comic is on the way to help us all celebrate Life Day. That's right. Marvel Star Wars Life Day number one features four unique stories written by Kevin Scott, Justina Ireland, Jody Hauser, and Steve Orlando. The stories will cover different eras from the High Republic and beyond, including the cover story, Han and Chewie, in an all-new Life Day adventure. Justina Ireland's tale will feature High Republic sensation Bur Yaga. So let's dive into the thoughts on Life Day for a new era, Joseph.
Yeah, so I'm very excited for the comic in general. I'm really thrilled by the writers. I've mentioned before, I know Jody in real life. I think she's great. She's a good friend and a great writer, so I'm really excited to see her get to do some more writing. I don't know Steve Orlando or their work, but I was really excited to see both of those writers and some of our favorites from the High Republic. Kevin Scott and Justina Ireland are great. I love all the High Republic authors, but I'm also glad to see some other voices in the mix as well, just to kind of keep that, you know, diversity of styles and approaches. So that was really cool to me. And in terms of going to what you were saying about the sort of different opinions that you might have had in years past, Life Day used to be any time that it was kind of played with, right? It was a little bit of like, this is kind of having fun, poking fun at how weird to not great holiday special was. And it feels like Life Day is now, as an idea, you know, disconnecting a little bit from let's be cheeky about the holiday special. And I love that because Life Day is a holiday in Star Wars, and there's such storytelling potential in holidays, right? Of family, culture, you know, conflicts around the dinner table, you know, the damage the Empire, you know, can do to societies to, you know, stop them from celebrating their holidays. There's rich actual storytelling possibilities. So I'm thrilled that they're really being, you know, mined.
I'm right there with you on that. You really explained it well in this is almost maybe you know, reaching the top of the mountain of Life Day references, and now it becomes something real, because it is, like you said, in terms of Star Wars story, you know, it was mentioned in The Mandalorian, right? And all those Easter egg videos got a lot of clicks off. That's a Star Wars the holiday special. Do you ever know about this? And that's the thing, too. Growing up, you know, the age of information being different as it was back then, like, this was a weird legend. This was did you know that there was a TV special? Like, what? I remember late 80s, just I almost couldn't believe it. And there was no proof, right? There was just memories and stories passed down through generations. And my parents didn't watch it. They had no idea. I remember watching the Mandrell sisters after the Muppet Show. I don't remember watching Star Wars back in the variety show days. So, it's a fun reference, but much like Kevin Scott and his obsession with, you know, Jackson, it's fun, it's cute until it is either too much or works out right. And his story about Jackson got me to the point of like, all right, I can see what you're doing with this, and you're going to make it something. And it's not just a you know, fun reference, a cheeky reference, or not just being, you're not being too cute. You really like this character and you're finding the value in it, and you're convincing me with great storytelling. This might be the peak of that with Life Day. I've never had too much of a problem with the idea of it, But 10 years ago, it would have been like, this is stupid. You're trying too hard. Luckily, I've grown. Luckily, I've matured. And luckily, I'm just loving all corners of Star Wars for the potential stories. And you're right. This is something. It means something. It goes into the most we've got on Wookiee life is that special. So now that it can go and it's not just one spot, it's all around the galaxy and we can tell a story with it. I'm interested. You have my attention.
Yeah, no, and going back to the High Republic, Veryaga is a great character, a beloved Jedi Wookiee, a Padawan Wookiee. So the idea of like maybe we get to see Life Day, you know, on Kashyyyk at its height, the way it was supposed to be, you know, I'm thrilled to see that.
Yeah, indeed. You mentioned Jodie Hauser returning to Star Wars. I am very excited about that. I did want to get your thoughts on someone like her coming back because we. You know, I've loved her work and you're friends with her and I've had a chance to meet her too. And she's wonderful. But like, you know, I was a little worried the Rise of Skywalker adaptation comic she was supposed to write got canceled or pulled. We don't know the story. And it was just like, she's too good of a writer to be on the Star Wars sidelines. I'm excited to see her come back. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel like I said, I think as many kind of different voices telling stories like these, we've got to watch this as fans to see people, new writers come into Star Wars, right? And they do one or two things. And then, you know, this new High Republic era, that's been a really different thing where it's a launch of a whole era. And these writers, you know, are really sort of like elevated in a great way because they have this responsibility for this big project. And so it's exciting to see writers who have done this work in Star Wars and that work in Star Wars and know that there's a possibility that if you read like a Life Day story from somebody, maybe Steve Orlando's story is amazing. And then eventually Steve Orlando is in charge of like a whole new big thing like High Republic with four or five other writers. So just kind of getting to go on that journey of seeing, you know, which creators really find a great Star Wars voice and go on to, you know, even more tales.
Yeah, more tales indeed. What is new becomes old and legendary in a short amount of time, you know.
Exactly.
Like, who's Kaven Scoot? Now he's one of my favorites, you know, and that's the way it works. So good to have Jody back, Justina Ireland, Kevin Scott, and Steve Orlando, like you said, a new name for us popping on the scene. Sticking around in comics here for the final story of our week. There's some additional comic news out there of new things coming, including a Jackson-related story, if I recall reading that headline right. But let's dive into this big one. I guess we'll say light spoilers for anyone who hasn't been up on the War of the Bounty Hunter series. Hard to avoid by now, but we'll give you the moment to click ahead. But here it is. Kira is back. A new Marvel miniseries, 5-issue series, will show more of her story. We'll cover what's been going on, you know, from Solo to now, but specifically be from Empire to Jedi. Charles Soule is the writer of all 5 issues of Star Wars Crimson Reign, due out in November. Charles said this, the War of the Bounty Hunter saga is more of a Boba Fett story. So even though Kira's return was important to that series, he wanted to focus on Kira's story. And this kind of continues what you and I have been discussing, this the thoughts of kind of the renewed Kira interest and storytelling based around her. So let's start there, Joseph. We got Kira back, and she's been working out according to that great cover photo going around. She's cut. What do you think about this?
Yeah, I'm thrilled. I am not caught up on the War of the Bounty Hunters, other than, you know, aware of Kira, aware of kind of some of the big picture things, but I haven't personally read it. I will get to that. I'm thrilled for more Kira content. I think you and I both really were drawn to the character early on. I so love that she looks like she's going to be a kind of femme fatale tradition when you're first watching Solo, and then the characters developed so well to be so rich, so interesting, have such a kind of a darker perspective, but totally justified by her life experiences, and left off in Solo with this great, great, intriguing cliffhanger. So a rich character to explore. And I remember when Solo came out and there were some discussions, and I think some fans were like, I like Kira, but, you know, we didn't get enough. Mm-hmm. And I remember thinking, like, this is the way of Star Wars, you know. A character you meet once is probably going to come back. They do not just exist on screen. And the more the storytelling builds up in other places, comic books, books, video games, whatever it is, you know, virtual reality, that we're all about circles today. That feeds back to the original thing, right? And Solo will become elevated by the more times that characters and ideas pop up. And, you know, it's great to see the whole Kira tapestry expanding.
We're here to view the Kira tapestries. Yes. No, you're absolutely right. You know, and again, what I just said of what is new becomes old and familiar in a wonderful way. You know, Kira's a new character. Infus Nest is a new character. All these new characters pop up, and there's always initially either, yeah, we want more, not enough, or who are they? I don't know anything about these characters. And at one point, all these characters were new, including that, farm boy looking after the twin sons on Tatooine. So I'm excited about this. And something you said, too, of what this will do for Solo and the interest in Solo, a movie you and I both really enjoy and love. Yeah, you can look at the movie. A movie's a movie. And, you know, the director changed all those kind of those headlines. Yeah, you know, maybe we would have a couple more beats with Kira, insight to the character. Emilia Clarke did a wonderful job with that character, but maybe, you know, had to face some struggles to get that character off the page in a better way, which we believe she succeeded. But there's all those kind of conversations around Solo. But I do feel with Most Wanted by Rae Carson, now her appearance in the comic, you're going to learn more about that character. And the next time you watch Solo, man, it's just going to pop for you even bigger. Now, you will argue, oh, the movie needs to stand alone. Yeah. I get it. That's a discussion we can have. But the Catalyst Rogue One argument always comes up. And that book did make the movie more, just bigger for me, not better. Just a bit bigger. And you go back and as a fan, if you're listening to this podcast, you're probably not on the surface of things. You probably are going to watch these movies a couple times and you're probably going to enjoy learning a little bit more. And the Star Wars writers usually do a great job of connecting that emotional canon we talk about, but connecting to all the cores and themes present in these characters. So I think you're going to get some great Kira storytelling that is going to feed back to Solo and then beyond. And there's now many ways you can take the character.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's a big thing for me is I think that the movie Solo does absolutely stand totally on its own. You can just watch that movie and just enjoy it. But as we talked about before, you know, it's a movie called Solo and Han Solo is the main character and all the other characters are intriguing, but are ultimately a little bit of mirrors reflecting back on Han. And what's great about that is you watch that movie, it does exactly what it's supposed to. Mm-hmm. Kira is her own character with all of these interesting tip of the iceberg storytelling possibilities. But in that movie, she functions to help tell Han's story. And then this is great because now we are getting her story about her in this comic book. And I hope it sells a bajillion copies and we get Emilia Clarke back on screen. And I would love if the, you know, her story from Solo to kind of the beginning of A New Hope, that there's plenty of elbow room left for there. So, you know, we can get the big fight, the big Kira versus Maul on the big screen. Is I would love that.
So here's, okay, you just, you had a sparked a thought in me here of, we get her in comic form here and that's great. And, you know, we'd love to see Amelia back. And it's not like, this isn't like we're trying to finally get Ray Sloan onto a live action show, right? With a lot of folks and something I still want, a lot of folks want. This is the other way around of live action. And now I don't want this character to be trapped in just comics, animation or books. But again, those are wonderful places to tell Star Wars stories. So this, if there's going to be, Charles Soule's going to give us a little bit of answers, right? And some framework to me that I'm like, this excites me that now you could go, hey, here's how she can fit into a live action series, including the stuff with Maul. Like here's, you know, the room, like you just said, but like, hey, this is the connections and this can work. And it'll get you thinking about it where now it's just kind of like, you know, I guess you could be cynical and be like, we never heard her name in the original trilogy. So how could it possibly work? Now we can know how it can work. And it's a good template. And do you need that to do a live action series? No, but it just kind of might help the process, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. And I think we have a lot of evidence right now that this is a rich time for Star Wars where the screen and the page speak to one another.
Yeah.
It's nice.
Absolutely. Saul has been interested in telling Star Wars stories set between Empire and Return of the Jedi. And this is part of that plan, including War of the Bounty Hunters. This is one of the first things he pitched when he was getting a little bit more down the Marvel path there. He said he loves pulling in characters from all eras of the galaxy. So what's your thought on this era and the use of these type of characters of what Saul's saying here? Of just like, let's pull them all in. Cause there's that intriguing shot has like Ren on it. A lot of characters. Does that does that work, or and can it tie things together, or is it sometimes not with Soul's work, but is there a danger of being too much?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's always a danger, you know, of that. But I think this is another good Star Wars life lesson. You can be concerned about things that haven't happened yet if you have, you know, good reason to be. Or you can just be afraid of something that hasn't happened yet and waste your time being afraid about nothing. Right. And for me, when I see that, I don't have any fear because I like Soul's previous work. And I think in particular, it's not just that I think he's a good writer. I think he has done a really good job in previous stories of overlapping different characters and different ideas in different eras and truly getting a thematic purpose out of it. You know, he's got that Lando five shot, which I think was the first thing I read that is, you know, Lando stumbling across some Sith artifacts that Palpatine is collecting. And that's a great blending of ideas that, you know, in the movies, we don't get to see them overlap, but it makes perfect sense that they do. And it only enriches both ideas. In the Poe Dameron run, there's a ton of stuff pulled in from different eras, you know, Padme's dresses popping up and things like that. So I think he's got a really good track record of, I'm not going to mash these two eras, these two characters together just because it's going to look cool on a cover and it's going to get a million clicks. He's only doing it if it has like real thematic resonance that tells us something about the characters.
Yeah, without going too detail, Soul does it so well, and there's been some other incidences in Star Wars where I'm like, in theory, it's really working, but it's not connecting with me as much as some of his stuff. Some other comics events where I'm just like, oh, it's great. I love what you did here. I don't know if it fully works for me because it doesn't have what you're talking about, this like emotional resonance, this real big purpose to it. And I'm excited when I heard Soul kind of explain this in this article and what his desires are. He's one of the ones that gets, and there's many other people that get it. Don't get me wrong, but there's great use, and it's part of this Star Wars, where Star Wars is right now. And from 2012, 2015 to now, we have just this giant galaxy with many characters. And I get excited for the ones we don't know yet, and for the crossovers that we haven't experienced yet.
Yeah, absolutely. So, my only hesitation about all of this is that I hope it does leave plenty of room for Kira, more stories for Kira on the page and on the screen. That's my only reservation. Otherwise, I'm super excited about this.
With you on that as well. So let's look at Star Wars news. Before we take a break, we are going to recommend an audiobook for you. What do we have this week?
We are recommending Out of the Shadows by Justina Ireland, because we are going to read it and we are going to talk about it, and you can be caught up by listening to it right here with Audible.
Do that. Download your free audiobook today by going to audibletrial.com/forcecenter. Again, that's audibletrial.com/forcecenter for your free audiobook. All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side, your questions here on Forcecenter.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Hey, 4 Center friends, make sure you're keeping up to date on all the great content from Jennifer Landa. Whether it's YouTube, Instagram, or TikTok, you whippersnappers, 4 Center's own Jennifer Landa continues to bring you fun, informative, and insightful laughs and moments.
Also, Jennifer brings her experience and perspective as a Star Wars-loving mother to her DIY projects, blogs, and more. So be sure to head on over to JennyLanda.com, that's JennyLanda.com, for articles like how to make your own Darth Maul sneakers or 10 unique Star Wars baby gift ideas.
Follow Jen on Twitter and Instagram at Jennifer Landa and on TikTok as JenniferLanda1138. Welcome back to 4 Center. We have taken a look at the news that we know of for now. We'll see what movies are announced the moment our episode drops. But now, Joseph, we've got some questions.
That is right. Here come the cues. We got two from Twitter, two from our patrons on Patreon. We'll go to Twitter first. Lanky S. Daw says, "Hi, Joseph and Ken. May the force be with you. If you had a chance to say something to the audience in 1977, before they enter a movie theater to see Star Wars for the first time, what would that be?" That is a great question. Ken, are you picturing yourself time traveling back to 1977, pre-dressing in 70s clothes so people aren't shocked and getting ready to talk to the people?
Yeah. My current dress, some slimmer cut jeans and a jean jacket, people will think I'm like a Jackson Brown guitarist from LA and the music scene probably be okay.
I think they'll think you really shrunk your jeans, but besides that, you'll fit in.
Yeah, that. This is a fun question here, Lanky. We can make all the jokes. Keep your ticket stub. Worry about canon. All that we can do that. But I think I would. It would be a little bit along the lines of just like get ready, but also just go on this journey, go on this adventure. Let it just flow over you. And go in with no preconceived notions. If you're doing the arc light thing when you're coming out, Hi, good evening. Welcome to Star Wars, directed by George Lucas. He did American Graffiti. Runtime is, yeah, you know what I mean? Just like, get ready. You're about to experience quite the tale.
Yeah, yeah. I think the first thing that came into my mind was that mood of just those sort of like, you guys don't even know. The Star Wars quote, of course, about, you know, you're about to take your first step into a larger world. So that was the first thought. But then I think, realistically, like if I had time travel and I could do this, this has come up when people ask me about time travel, because that happens on podcasts and when you're hanging out with pals. What you do with time travel is going back to 77 and seeing Star Wars with an audience and experiencing it. I would love that. And that made me really think about the honest thing I would ask is I would try to find some people and say, can I interview you after you watch it? And really try to ask some, you know, probing questions without spoilers. I'm not going to tell them that Vader is Luke's dad like a jackass. And really get the, you know, not just what they think of Star Wars, but that frame of reference of how does it fit into their life at that time? How does it fit into the way they understand the world? Or, you know, why is it different than another movie they saw? You know, all those, you know, if it really succeeded in making them feel hopeful and young, you know, if they're not a younger person and all those things, you know, and really understand the impact that it made on those people at that time. Like we got interviews, we know, but it would great. It'd be a wonderful experience for me as a person to get to do that interview.
I 100% feel you on that because I'm very happy with my current age. I mean, I could shave 5 years off, I'm sure, but like I sometimes I've talked about it where I love how I have some friends as you do too, who just were like in that 10 to 15 year old age, seeing A New Hope, where it got to do what you're talking about, affect him. Right. And just to go back and after the moments, you know, hell, I'd like to interview myself at 7 coming on Return of the Jedi. I have some memories and thoughts about what happened, but like, it was staring out to the stars and thinking, well, that's going on out there. And so, yeah, you're right. Ask a 12-year-old, did you just have your life just shook the very foundations? Tell us about it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I was thinking about it too, because this was another Star Wars adventure that I had this week. Visited my parents and they were talking about why they took my brother and I to Star Wars. And this is something that came from the mist of time. I would assume that my parents are remembering correctly. Yeah. but they had said that they went to a church and the church bulletin actually said, go see Star Wars. It's a great discussion of good and evil.
Wow.
And they're like, okay, well, we'll take the kids then. I guess maybe they didn't want to teach me morality. And they're like, let Star Wars do it. but that was great to hear, because that is often what you hear in old interviews about just Star Wars, but just the first film, before the fact that Vader's Luke's father gets into more complex territory, right?
Yeah.
Vader's a bad guy, Luke's a good guy. That's it, you know? So I would love to be able to kind of interview people about that, of like, what do you think this film, nothing else, just Star Wars in 1977. What do you think it's saying about good and evil? What do you think it's saying about, you know, the rigid and the mechanical versus the organic, you know, all sorts of things. What do you think it says that there's a force that connects us all, but then there's these individuals like Han who need to make individual choices? Like, what does that mean to you? And see what people truly, if you ask them to embrace it in terms of the ideas, what did they get out of just that first film?
Yeah, that's fascinating. And can you also ask them, what do you think about who's the Emperor? Do you have any thoughts on who the Emperor is? Are you bummed you only got a reference?
Yeah. Isn't this lame that the whole thing was that Luke Skywalker is this, you know, great kid of a great, powerful Jedi, and he gets a whole lightsaber and then he just uses it to practice once and it's not even how he wins at the end. Yeah. You don't even get to see him have a fight with it. That was lame, right?
Yes. Great, snarky indeed. But no, I'm right there with you on just, again, the era of this film, right? Because this is a time traveling question. So you're going at the, you know, 4 or 5 years after Watergate, Vietnam War, all those things that you hear every documentary about Star Wars starts with. But to actually talk to them about that right now, what you're saying of, you feel hopeful? How do you feel?
Yeah. Right? It's such a great question, Lanky. Thank you. Thank you very much. Any other thoughts on this one, Ken?
No, other than let's go back in time and take a sports almanac and a Star Wars ticket.
Okay, I'll work on that for my life adventure of building the time machine so we can find out truths about Star Wars and then get rich by investing in the proper companies.
Yes.
All right, we're going to move on to our next question from Flalilla Skywalker. Flalilla says, if Leia took on the name Skywalker, what would be the reason for her to do this? This is a great question. I think coming from this perspective, I would imagine of Leia is the holder by the time of the sequel trilogy of many different legacies. And she has the name Organa and the name Solo, but she is, of course, a Skywalker, and that is a huge part of the importance of her legacy and what she has to wrestle with. But she doesn't take the name Skywalker. What do you think would have made her different? What would have had to have been different to have her make that different choice?
I think it's somewhere along the timeline, if she does this, it would be about, I see it personally as about Luke. I'm not necessarily saying post-death, but just maybe Luke, the emergence of Luke Skywalker and the new legacy he's helped form that she's a part of. And I see it as more as that. I look potentially Shmi. Maybe she gets some history books. It's like, hey, this one's real cool. Let's not forget her. but I don't feel it would be to, how do I say this? Not about not honoring Anakin, but you got to acknowledge his complicated past.
He made some bad choices.
Yeah. So it's a different name now. And again, it's the restoration of the name that used to be, right? She's not Leia Vader. That's not what I'm suggesting. But, you know, at any point, even in her heart, even if the public doesn't know, she might be like, well, you know, what if I take that name, who or what am I honoring? But by as time goes on, and then it's about not just Luke, again, she's part of this legacy, but it's Luke, new legacy, new thing going forward. Rey emerges, that kind of thing as well. It could be something about that. Almost like we're taking back this name and making it ours a little bit.
Yeah, no, I really like it. I think this is getting my mind to go toward kind of what if questions, which we're gonna be doing a what if episode of Star Wars Rank soon. So look forward to that. So not to totally step on our own future toes here. But I think for me, this is a kind of a fun what if because I like the story that has emerged that I feel like Leia. There's all these mentions in different books where Luke has, you know, kind of explained what happened with Anakin to her a little bit more from his perspective. Yeah. And she's trying to come to peace with the fact that this nightmare, Vader, was also this person who could be a good man and that he did make a good choice at the end of his life. But I feel like the story as we have it right now, maybe there'll be more. She isn't totally at peace with this part of her heritage, you know?
Yeah.
That she almost is a sense for me. And this is a little bit of headcanon. Absolutely. That Luke comes to her and is like, look, you have this power. It's my responsibility to pass it on. It's your responsibility to learn it. So he's like, okay, I will have this vision of this is where this is headed is not for me. Somebody else will pick up my saber, pick up my legacy. I have other, you know, ways to use my talents, which to me also kind of just adds up to like, okay, I am aware of that part of my heritage. I try to come to terms with it, but it's not my focus. So then to me, it becomes this what if is I think for her to take the name, something different would have had to happen for her to want to carry the legacy both personally and publicly. So yeah. I think she would have taken the name if she and Luke had made a decision together to be open with the galaxy about who their father truly was. Maybe if she personally found a way to understand Anakin better so she could do what you were saying, Ken, of like honoring her connection to Luke and honoring who her father had been, right? Or saying, I'm going to take this name back and, you know, dust off the bad parts. I'm going to refurbish this name. I think, you know, that would be really interesting to me if it was like she and Luke had gone through some sort of personal private journey to be like, we really want to do this. We want to own who our father was. We want to do that publicly because we went through this private journey. And, you know, I could see a great what if story of Leia and Luke making an announcement to the Senate. And that's where she announces that, you know, her name is now Organa Solo Skywalker, you know?
Yeah. 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 And not for nothing. Organa is a great name to honor. Right. So even if at one point she maybe has a choice, I mean, she, you know, the character, if you want to say she becomes Organa Solo, she definitely has that choice, maintains that choice. It's a great legacy there as well. But I wouldn't be surprised too if she could at one point add Naberi for Amidala, you know?
Right. You know, she has got a lot of legacies to carry. Yeah. And If anybody hasn't read the novelization of The Rise of Skywalker, that's one of my favorite things in it, because it does really wrestle with these ideas of, Leia knowing that she is the carrier of all of these ideas and history and really wanting to pass the lessons on to the new generation.
Indeed. Great stuff.
Yeah, great question. We're going to move on to our questions from our patrons on Patreon. This one comes to us from John Ramset. John says, "Hi, guys. My question is about secrets. Insert spooky ghost sound here. Ken, do you want to do the spooky ghost sound?"
It's more of an instrument.
That is definitely like a ghost about to do a fun 50s song there. That was very musical. So we'll continue with John's question. He says, "I completely understand why a Jedi would need to keep secrets from their enemies, but it bothers me how often Jedi keep secrets from their allies. Mm-hmm. They all do it. Qui-Gon tells Padme the queen doesn't need to know about gambling her ship on a kid in a pod race. Anakin keeps his relationship with Padme a secret. Both Obi-Wan and Yoda initially conceal from Luke the fact that Vader is his father and Leia is his sister. When Vader tells Luke, 'I am your father,' Luke keeps that a secret from Leia for a year. Luke and Leia never tell Rey who her grandfather is. When she discovers the truth elsewhere, we never see her tell her closest friends. Secrets, secrets, secrets. Secrets are born from fear. The thought process is always, 'I am afraid this person will react poorly if I tell them the truth, so I just won't tell them.' We all know what fear leads to. Just ask Lord Sidious, who happens to be the biggest secret keeper in the galaxy. Keeping your friends in the dark and preventing them from making informed, fact-based decisions just does not feel like the way of the Jedi to me. What do you guys think? Should Jedi strive to always stay on the path of honesty and truth, regardless of where it leads? Or is keeping a secret from your friends here and there sometimes the right thing to do? Thank you guys so much for rekindling my love of all things Star Wars. You're my one and only source for Star Wars talk nowadays, and I can't get enough." Thank you for the very kind words, John, and the great question. Just a real quick question about the philosophy of secret keeping and how to dole out information. Let's break this down a little bit, Ken. Yeah. Do you agree with the general thesis statement of the Jedi really keep a lot of secrets?
See, I do. As the question went on and the list of damning evidence against them, I was like, gosh, you're right. Because I just in real, like, secrets are, it's a shadowy word. So sometimes you might refer to it as withholding information, plausible deniability. There's a lot of ways, and there's a lot of things where I see value in it, and I see necessary uses of withholding information. But a lot of it has to do, but it goes back to, John already has addressed it, of just, well, yeah, but it, you were basically saying, I'm afraid you're going to act this way, so I can't give you that information. And that's the truth I can't argue with right now.
Get that truth out there. Yeah, no, I agree with that central premise that we see a lot of Jedi keeping secrets, and it doesn't feel like a thing that in general the Jedi would want to do, right? Pour some light on those shadows. That's the only way that they're going to not fester. It feels very Jedi-like to say, yes, we do need to address these secrets so they don't fester in the dark. I love all the examples that John is sharing here, because to me, they're different depending on the storytelling, right? I think sometimes the secret keeping is shown as a flaw. Like for me, my read, and totally understand if people have a different one, of Qui-Gon's a great Jedi, but it's a little bit of hubris on his part, right? Of saying like, no, I'm a Jedi, I'm wise, don't worry about it, I'll do what needs to be done. He goes through Phantom Menace with a little bit of I'll decide swagger.
Totally does.
So I think that one is shown to be like a little bit of a flaw. I think Anakin and Padme, Anakin in particular, not having a secret marriage, right? That's a big part of the storytelling of, yes, that's a huge flaw. That's another great what if question. What if, because Padme does advocate a few times, let's just, step away from everything then and lead our lives. Let's go back to Naboo and raise our kids, or kids, as they would find out. In this idea that Anakin wants the power and the prestige of being a Jedi, and he isn't willing to just go like, you know what? You're right. This is the most important thing to me. I'm just going to walk in there and tell the Jedi Council, I think you're wrong, and I have a happy marriage, and right, I would be happy to continue to serve. But if not, then I'll walk away, mm-hmm. I think the marriage being a secret is a part of the storytelling of that's a flaw. That's a mistake. And then you get into all of these other great examples that come from what I would argue is characters who are centered a little bit more as good mentors and heroes, you know, of Obi-Wan and in Yoda and Luke not telling Leia for a year and yeah. Luke and Leia not telling Rey about Palpatine and not telling Ben Solo about Vader. I just feel like that's fascinating parenting storytelling, right? Of mm-hmm. those are characters who have every intent to tell their literal and metaphorical children, family members, they have every intent to tell them the truth, and they're having that decision of when is the right time.
Which I believe is a really fair question. You know, fair question to ask as a parent, you know, or as anyone in a position of leadership versus I use that term as opposed to authority. But I think it's a fair, you know, it's a fair debate to have over the benefits of it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I am not a parent, so I will not have any strong opinion about exactly how you dole out information to children. Mm-hmm. But I love that that's the storytelling. I love, you know, when Yoda says that, you know, he's sad because he feels like Luke wasn't ready for the burden. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's going on with Obi-Wan too, if he's trying to give him a father to look up to, not, you know, a man to hate and want, you know, vengeance on. He accidentally kind of gives him both in separate figures who are actually one. But I think there is such good intention in it. And I feel that in Rise of Skywalker with, you know, Leia feeling like it's she needs to go. It's not quite time yet, but kind of trying to already preload her up with the advice of, you know, never be afraid of who you are.
Right.
It's this great bittersweet of like, I'm really trying to do right by my child and maybe even listen to the Force and listen for the right moment. And maybe I missed the moment.
Yeah, maybe. Look, with all the information to me, and John touched upon it there, it's definitely a form of attachment to fear of what people will do, but it's also definitely an attachment to power. And I think you could look at some of it. I think what you're saying, a little bit of Qui-Gon, Eddie, I got some power in the situation. I'm a good dude, but I'm gonna hold on to it. But I wrote down the note and you hit it. Intentions need to be factored in, but also this idea, as for, in terms of the Jedi, you and I just did a great deep dive on the idea of patience and, you know, this waiting for all the info. And sometimes maybe that's their part of their journey and you don't want to influence it, right? Luke might run away from his path. Rey might run away from her path. The information can blur the lines, all those kind of things. But also there's a little bit of a protection of what other people will do with the information. And I think that's big for me too, in terms of Star Wars, but in real life as well. But keeping it to Star Wars of, you know, Luke starts, you know, telling Leia, or, hey, guess what? Thanks for picking me up. Can I tell you something? Post Bespin. And then that gets out too fast, too soon. Cause look what happens years later when it does it and Leia's cast out essentially in Bloodline.
Well, yeah. And she's immediately threatened, right? Of course the Sith would want her power too.
Indeed. And I'm not saying everything, every example that John wonderfully provided, you know, it has that shield up of, wow, we just didn't want them to know. But, you know, and even if Luke knows too soon and if something goes wrong and he's captured, killed, the Emperor gets to him, you know, and the information goes out to the wrong people, that's a danger as well. I think there's a little bit of that. It's not all the way. And my final note that I wrote is John, perhaps I have no real answer. the Jedi are, you know, they're dealing unfair cards at times, but it happens a lot. But I you maybe think of Qui-Gon, Padme keeps that secret of the bodyguards. That's because that information gets out, she's in danger. That's why she's
right.
Which is why the value of revealing herself to Boss Nass and that truth of that moment. And I'm not hiding anything with you anymore. And the trust is built. But yeah, that was done for her protection. And no one would argue with that. Now, again, she's not a Jedi, but I don't know.
Yeah, but I think that you know, that to me is why I like thinking a lot about what's the difference between just fear of something bad that might happen and legitimate concern of like, yeah, no, people are going to try to kill me. That's a whole thing.
Yeah.
All the time. Yeah, I think my final thought is, especially for the characters that are intending and trying to be good mentors and are maybe making a mistake, waiting too long, maybe they are wrestling with their own fear. I think in terms of you know, Star Wars storytelling. In some ways, I think the not having the revelation about your dark lineage or your scary lineage is a little bit of a metaphor for coming of age and the older generation letting the younger generation learn what they need to for themselves. Yeah. Like it's very heightened to be like, sorry, I didn't tell you
right.
that your father, your grandfather is this figure. That's good information to have, as John is arguing. But then sometimes almost emotionally, it feels to me like the times when, and I think it can even happen between friends of like, you know, I know from my life experience, when you touch that hot stove, it's going to burn you. But I also know you're in a point where you, me telling you that will make no difference. You need to burn yourself so you can process it how you want to and learn the way you want to, right. You know? So I think to me in the storytelling, there's a little bit of a metaphor of that, of sometimes you have to let the younger generation learn their lessons for themselves and then be there for them when they learn them.
100%. That's the parenting lesson that, you know, I got to parent a robot vacuum and a dog right now, so I don't have a leg to stand on.
Yes, yes. I will happily listen to the lessons of real parents or parents of dogs and robots like yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a great question. We could talk about that one for a long time, John. Thank you so much. But we are going to move on to our final question from Andrew Holmes. Andrew says, hi, Ken and Joseph. Thought I'd throw in a silly one to repeat a Force-centrism. So much of what we love about Star Wars is the big themes, but we also just love the cool. For me, the coolest thing in Star Wars is Han's blaster belt being Han's blaster belt and low slung holster. It just oozes cool from the moment we see him subtly pulling that DL-44 on Greedo. I mean, if it was worn higher, he couldn't have done that, right? And clearly, Lord and Miller / Ron Howard knew how cool it is with all the belt and holster glory shots in Solo. I recently got the Black Series Archive Hoth Han added to the collection, and it even makes cold weather gear look cool. Funny how the tactile figure experience makes you appreciate something even more. So my question is, what are both of your coolest thing in Star Wars? Keep up the great work. You guys really helped to fuel our fandom. May the Force be with you. Thank you, Andrew, for the great question and for fueling our fandom. Ken, mm-hmm. do you, I want to jump in first and yeah. close with your thoughts because I wrote down a couple things, but then I realized this is not a question to try to be overly clever on or deep dive on in my perspective. For me, the coolest thing is lightsabers, period.
Right. Yeah. The answer is the answer sometimes.
Sometimes the answer is the answer. And for me, I think I even had this quote to a good friend of mine in Minneapolis years ago. I got to see this friend this weekend. It was really nice to reconnect with him. And he remembered this quote years later during the height of the people of our generation really disliking the prequels. Right. And as I've said many times, I had my ups and downs with them. I had my critiques, but I bought the figures. I bought the lightsaber toys. I kept going back. I kept watching them on VHS and DVD. And I remember having a conversation with my friend of like, you know, you seem to really have a lot of flaws with these movies and that, you know, and yet you talk about them all the time. And just like at the end of the day, they got lightsabers, and I just really like lightsabers. It's just Star Wars. It's kind of my way to say it's just Star Wars. And I think, you know, at the time I was still in this place where I was letting myself be too concerned with what I thought the flaws were, so I couldn't see for me what I've come to so deeply love and appreciate about the prequels. But lightsabers hold all this iconography. They're so meaningful. We talked about that with the Visions trailer. But you also just can't get around how cool it is, the sound, the look, the idea of fighting with this, the way that every kid of every generation who sees anything Star Wars will see any cylindrical object and pretend it's a lightsaber. That's just your instinct of what to do. Yeah. A mop, that's a lightsaber, period, because it's just that cool.
Yeah, that's the answer. Because you're going back, and it's that image of Luke on top of the sail bars that got me.
Yeah,
and it's about that. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, sorry. If you have any more to say, I'll go into my ramble here. But
yeah, no, I mean, I just so for me, it is lightsabers is the big thing. But there are other things that I really and lightsabers kind of straddle the line. They are super cool, but they have all this meaning. But there are things that I, in the spirit of this question, you know, I love the TIE Striker design because it's cool. I love the Short Trooper design because it's cool. I love that Boba Fett has knee darts because it shouldn't be cool, but it is. Like, I really do also like, as Andrew is saying, to really celebrate the stuff that has mostly just almost aesthetic value along with the meaning. So I wanted to celebrate those things as well with a few examples. That's it, Ken. I want to hear your cool things.
Yeah, I try to go both to like taking yourself back to, speaking of time traveling, of coming out of the theaters or, you know, watching on VHS and just, you know, what you're daydreaming about. And it is a lot of the ship designs that kind of I obsessed with the, you know, the Imperial toys, but like the AT-AT walkers, even the AT-STs on Endor. I was obsessed with the fear on the faces of the rebels fighting those. And so therefore the walkers, I love the walkers for what they inspired in me, which was fear. And would I be fighting? I was always obsessed with the Tanavee 4 hallway scene that starts New Hope, where those rebels and one who I always would tell everyone was Han Solo's cousin, the first guy with the bushy eyebrows, that they're, you know, ducking down, crouching in a hallway, facing monsters. And I just was, and that was so cool to me that they did that. So there's that kind of emotional thing. And going back to like being 7 or 8, I was I've talked about it before, terrified of that AT-AT walker's foot coming down through the Trent Callum's binoculars or whatever, like terrified of that, terrified of the Ewoks up against the AT-STs when before the turn of the tide in that battle, terrified. So therefore it becomes so cool because I just was pulled into the daydream of it. But in terms of like something that's just like cool, man, you say lightsabers, I'll say Darth Vader. The image of Darth Vader, the coolness of Darth Vader, which as George will point out, hey, maybe you all thought it was too cool, but the cape, the red saber on the goth black. Like that reason that when Maul comes around, we're like, ooh, Kylo Ren comes around. We're like, all right. It looks like a Star Wars villain and you don't want to obsess and focus too much on the villains, but even Palps, oh man, he's cool and is in his evilness. And there's just something about it. Talking about Andrew and this low slung holster. I get it, Andrew. I'm right there with you because I love Han, but I think it's a little bit of Vader walking down that hallway with that cape. And just wherever he was, it was terrifying. I wanted to know, and it was cool.
Yeah, no, I mean, like, I think of that shot in Rogue One of just the, you know, the shadow coming into his business meeting with Krennic, and like, it's just cool. It's a, yeah. It's just a great representation of a walking nightmare with a cool lightsaber. So lots of cool stuff going on there.
Yeah.
Any final cool thoughts?
No, there's a lot of cool things in Star Wars to choose from.
We're keeping this amazingly short. That is it for our questions today. Thank you, Andrew. Thank you, John. Thank you, Flalilis and Lanky.
Thank you all indeed. And hey, you want to find us, follow us, maybe ask us some questions. You can go to Twitter at Force Center Pod. We're on Instagram and YouTube as well. Facebook page is Force Center Podcast. Podcast is available on a lot of different spots, including Anchor, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Amazon Music, Spotify, and more. Merch is available at tpublic.com/user/ForceCenter. You can also support us directly at patreon.com/ForceCenter. Excited to have new patrons. And as we announced last week, we have a commemorative poster up for the Force Center 1000 and just kind of celebrating 1000 episodes of Force Center with all of you. And as a way to thanks, if you support the top two tiers at on Patreon and you all you have to do is hit it once there, you'll get that poster sent to you, designed by the great Brian Ward. So check that out. We got our own things we work on sometimes, believe it or not, outside of Star Wars. And you can find all those for me by following me at Ken Napsok or going to KenNapsok.com, including information on upcoming comedy shows locally here in L.A., a Haha Cafe on the 31st, and possibly Vegas soon, and possibly confirming some final things. Even getting emails while we're recording. It looks like I will be going to New York to do some comedy with Mark Ellis in early October. Stay tuned for that. We always like highlighting charities and things of interest in the real world that we're behind. We talked about Emilia Clarke today. I have been following her great charity called Same You. It's a group dedicated to brain injury recovery, championed and created by Emilia Clarke, who, of course, most people know by now, but she, speaking of secrets, secretly suffered a traumatic brain injury after season one of Game of Thrones and affected her life, potentially took her life, and she fought through that. And so she got this great organization called Same You. You can donate, fundraise for them, and hear stories of those affected by going to their website. All right, Joseph.
Yeah, you can find me on all the social media. Twitter, Instagram, TikTok is at Joseph Scrimshaw. There'll be some Star Wars stuff there, some frozen pizza, lots of different of my life interests explored on social media. And for all of my other comedy adventures, comedy albums, future show dates, shows I've written for, all kind of stuff like that are on my website at josephscrimshaw.com. For the thing I'd like to highlight this week, if you are a listener who lives in California, there's a really important election coming up. It's one that can kind of fly under the radar, and it's, I think, a really important one to vote on because it has really big impacts, and it's a slightly confusing ballot. So I suggest everyone to look up and figure out for themselves what they think about this governor recall. That vote is happening on September 14th. There are a lot of ways that you can vote before then, and just encourage people to look at all that information and make an informed decision and use your power. That's it for me.
Use your power. That right there is my my ballot. Gonna go mail that in after the show today.
Nice.
Good stuff indeed. Wonderful episode. Great questions. A lot of stuff covered. We'll wait for the next news drop that will happen. Probably check your watches in moments, but this was Force Center.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.